is risk, is what we're here to talk to you about. And to me, this is one of the vital areas. Now, I know Paul would have spoken to you about risk in credit management, and yes, risk is part of credit management. What we cover in the credit management topic is the non-financial factors. So all the other stuff that's around, because financial is one area, and then there's behavioural and all sorts of other risk factors that should raise flags with you. And I know in my working career, once in my whole career did somebody catch me flat, where they'd pay their bill on time, up to date, and bang, they hit the wall. Happened to me once in my 20 odd year career as a credit manager. Everybody else who went, I knew they were going. There was warning signs, there was bounce checks, there was, you know, there was stuff that, and you could just see the trend. And, you know, I am a firm believer in seeing trends. And one of the greatest tools that a credit manager can have is a crystal ball. So you can tell what's going to happen in the future. Wouldn't that be great? You don't need one. You don't need one, because I'm a firm believer that everything that happens, you know, that if I throw that pen there's nowhere else it could have landed based on the force of the throw, the wind, the gravity. It couldn't have landed anywhere else. So I believe everything is inevitable, that when things happen, there's a sequence of events that made it happen. And part of what we need to be able to do is to predict that sort of sequence of events. Will we get it right 100% of the time? Of course we won't. You know, that's not the way life works. So what we are focusing on in this particular topic are the numbers, is the finance side of it. So this risk assessment is purely financial, and how we are going to be able to work out the risk factors within a company. And what I'm hoping at the end of this, or even as we go through the course, is that I'm gauging it on such a way that at some stage a director is going to arrive down to your desk, throw a set of accounts on your desk and say, they're looking for 50 grand. Yeah? And it's on your head. So you need to be able to look at the numbers, you have to be able to understand the numbers, and you have to be able to make some sense of the numbers. Is that all right? And that's what this particular module is going to give you. All right? So for those of you, maybe show of hands, how many have studied accounting or finance or any of that particular area? So it's about four and a half people who have looked after you. So for the rest of you who have never looked at accounts or finance or whatever, the good news for the people who have never seen it before is that we start this course on the basis that you know nothing. That's bad news for the people who know a bit. So I'm hoping that you'll stay with us, particularly for the first module or whatever, you'll be reading this going, ah, come on, this is... We start right at the very start. Is that okay? So maybe if I can demystify the whole accounting process, because I know some people get a set of accounts and it's like looking into a ball of figures, and it's like looking into a field. You know, you're going, here, more numbers. So what I want to do is I want to make that as simple as I can. And so in the first two modules, we're going to be working exclusively. We're going to be working on the two. Well, let me explain where they come from. There are three time frames. Yes, this is in general life. There is the past, there is the present, and there's the future. Yeah? So they're the three time frames that we are concerned with, isn't that true? Where we differ from accountants is that accountants tend to spend most of their life here. They are reporting on what has already happened. They are looking at what has already done. You get that?
Yeah.
They're looking at accounts from an accounting perspective, and they tend to be looking into the past. And that's okay. The present, we need to know where we are right now. As credit controllers and credit managers, our main focus is the future. I don't care if you could pay your bills for the last 15 years. I'm worried about, can you pay next month? So as far as I'm concerned, the fact that you've been reasonably good up to now, yeah, that's all right. I'm more concerned with next month. Okay? So there are three main accounts that we need to look at. The past. So how we record the past in financial terms is by looking at a page and a set of accounts that is called the profit and loss account. So this is the first one. And the profit and loss account deals with the past. It deals with a finite time frame. Are you with me? So if you're running your set of accounts on the 31st of the 12th, 16, your profit and loss account will record everything that happened between the 1st of the 1st, 16 and the 31st of the 12th, 16. Are you with me? So it's a past time, it's a finite time, and your P&L account includes all the transactions that happened in that time frame. Is that okay? So that's your P&L account. I'll go into the components of it later. So that's number one. The present. How we look at the present moment is another document that's known as the balance sheet. And the balance sheet again at the 31st of the 12th, 16. But what the balance sheet is and why the balance sheet is different. A balance sheet lists everything that the company owes and everything the company owns at an exact moment in time. So it's like as if somebody walked into the business at 5 o'clock on New Year's Eve. Happy accountants, sad people, nowhere to go on New Year's Eve. So they walk into business at 5 o'clock on New Year's Eve and they go click. Right? They just take a picture of that moment in time. And that's how they create a balance sheet. So a balance sheet lists everything you own and everything you owe. That's where the worth of the business is. Is that okay? So it's a list of everything you own and everything you owe. The trading, this is sometimes known as a trading profit and loss account. And what trading means is buying and selling. That's what trading is. So if we're trading, we're buying and selling. So this looks at our purchases, our sales, our expenses, whether we're making a profit or not. This looks at everything we own, everything we owe, and whether the business is worth anything. And from a credit management perspective, there's a third document known as the cash flow. The cash flow statement. And the cash flow statement is your prediction of the future. And I have, because I told you I'm sad, I do spreadsheets, I have a load of cash flow. So if you have been asked to prepare a cash flow statement, has anybody been ever asked to do that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, it's easy enough when you get your head around it. And once you know, because you tend to know what's going out. Yeah, because you have wages and you have rent and you know, and you can tell, look, you know, we spent £100 on tea last month, you know, last September, so we probably spent £100 this month. But, you know, so we can kind of predict with fair accuracy. And then on the income side, from a sales perspective, well, we know what we sold last month. We know when our customers... You know, now this is probably the difference between accountants and credit people. Accountants will probably create a cash flow forecast based on credit terms and when the money should be in. Mm-hmm. Whereas from a credit control perspective, we know we live in the real world. And what should happen doesn't always happen. And you know what, if that company are always a week late, you know, obviously we're good. Yeah, exactly. And to me, my advice to you is, and one thing how I survived a career in credit management for so long is, there's one simple rule, you promise little and deliver big, right? So if there's £1 million out there, I say I will get 750,000, and then I get 850, rather than telling them I will get £1 million and only get 850. Can you see the big difference there? But
expectations. expectations.
Manage expectations. So promise as little as you think you can get away with, and then deliver as much as you can. Without going overboard, let's not be silly. Because if I told them I was going to get 750 and I got 850, you know, okay, I'm a good guy. If I got 1 million, that then would become my target for the next month. So one of the things I managed a cash flow very, very carefully, just to make sure that I hit budget every single month without going overboard, even if I could. Is that all right? So that's all about managing. So they are your three documents that you need to be familiar with. And believe it or not, the first two modules deals with the first two documents there. So we get into the in-depth. So in terms of accounting, we'll explain the whole accounting model. And people get all het up on debits and credits and debt at the giver and credit at the giver. Now, I've done accounting all my life, and I'm lecturing you on an accounting-based subject. I never really mastered all that sort of stuff, you know? And I got this far without mastering it. I heard a great story about an accountant, a very old accountant, who used to go into the office every day, and he had an assistant accountant who used to watch him. And he'd walk into the office every day, open the drawer, and close the drawer. He never took anything out of the drawer. Right? But every morning, first thing, he'd open the drawer and close the drawer and then start working. And the old accountant died, and the young accountant had to see what was in the drawer that he was checking every morning. And he opened the drawer, and there was a note that said, "The debit side is nearest the window." So I'm not. You're not accountants. I don't want you to be accountants. You're not bookkeepers. I don't want you to be bookkeepers. Is that okay? So I know that. Although halfway through the first module, you go, "Ah, here, Deck, you said I'm not a bookkeeper. Now you're getting on this." What we want in this course more than anything else is an understanding. Is that okay? It's an understanding of why things are the way they are, and when we get to the end of the second module, you will know everything you need to know about a trading profit and loss and balance sheet, what it contains, what's in there, what it means, and I hope what it really means. Because there's like lies, damn lies and statistics, there's numbers in there, and I'm hoping that as credit guys, you'll be able to look at a set of accounts and you know. You see, too many people look at the profit and the profit accounts and say, "Oh, look, they're making a profit. Sure, they're great." And they report to the stock exchange, "Oh, look how profitable we are." But we know, because we work in credit, like you can have growing sales, growing profits in our P&L account. And over here in the balance sheet, we have our debtor's ledger that's grown and grown and grown. So while we're selling and we're showing a profit in the accounts, we're not actually collecting the money that we're owed. And eventually the company may be solvent from a book perspective, it may be profitable from a trading perspective, and then bang, it runs out of cash. And I would say every business that has ever gone out of business has done so because they've run out of cash. That's it. They just hit a wall and they can't go any further. And so by being able to understand the profit and loss account, the balance sheet and the cash flow statement, we're projecting into the future. And I could predict with very good accuracy, these guys have 8 months to live. Yeah? And there are, and I think we do include it later on in the second module, things called Z-scores. Have you ever heard of Z-scores? No? I'm surprised the man is still alive. His name is Edwin Altman. And he came up with a plan in the 1960s, that long ago, called the Altman Z-score, which would predict the failure of a company based on stats and numbers and all that kind of stuff. And it's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate. So we can do that. Because you see, things tend to keep going in the direction they're going. So if a business is going, that's the thing, if a business is going that way, what will happen is it'll go that way for a while and then it'll just drop. And similarly, if it's going that way, it'll take a sharp drop. So to me, while yes, I'm interested in the numbers and the profit and the balance and the net worth of the business and all that kind of stuff. What I'm most interested in is, are they getting better or are they getting worse? Are they, you know, and look, we've come out of a horrible recession, you know, so basically, oh, they made a loss. Oh, they're a bad credit risk now, they made a loss last year. Maybe not. I don't get too upset about things like that. Like, if the business is worth $1 million and they lost $10,000, boo-hoo. Right, they can lose $10,000 for the next 100 years and stay in business because they have the capability there. Now, if they lost $10,000 this year and, you know, $20,000 next year and $50,000 next year, you know, now I can see a trend. This is heading only one way unless something else happens. And it's about predicting that. And from a credit perspective, and I need to tell you this because this guy came up to me, he was so happy with himself. And I have to make sure that you are not that guy. He came to me, this is now a number of years ago, probably back in 2008 or 9, just when the whole world fell apart. And what happened in that particular week was a company called Pierce Constructing, that was one of the biggest construction companies in Ireland. You'd see Pierce on every crane in Dublin, went into liquidation. Bang, owing hundreds of millions. Just the recession bit, they bought property and ran out of cash, and that was it, they were gone. And I spoke at the Construction Industry Federation, and this guy came up to me afterwards and he said, oh, I'm glad you're here talking about credit management. And I said, oh, good. He said, because when it came to Pierce, yeah, and this is the topic of the day, he said, I saw the writing on the wall 6 years ago. I said, oh, did you? He said, oh, yeah, I wouldn't supply them. And now every company in Dublin is licking their wounds and sorry for themselves because they've lost millions and we didn't lose a single penny. And I just said, oh, that was great. You know, I'm sure you're relieved and all the rest of it went out. And it was only when he left, I thought, you absolute idiot, you know? Like, you might be clever today, but six of the best construction years in the history of Ireland, and you excluded yourself from the biggest opportunity that ever was. I thought, what an idiot, you know? Like, you might think he's clever. So, look, it's easy to say no from a credit perspective and then to clap yourself on the back when they go into liquidation. In my thinking is, he could have made 20 million in the 6 years profit. And boo-hoo, you lose 400 grand at the end. Now, I know in my world, 400 grand is a lot of money. It wouldn't be that much if I'd made 2 million or 20 million in the years up to it. So we have to balance risk and reward here. You understand? And there are accounts that I have opened knowing that this guy is going. I just know, and I've done the sums. And if they have 2 years to live, well, that means I can trade away with them on a very tight leash for 18 months. And as long as I take some of the profit that we made on the sales in those 18 months and provide it over here in my bad debt provision, then when he goes, so what? You know, we've made money by doing business. Do you understand? So it's kind of a profit focus rather than, so this is not about, you know, no bad debts. That's not what it's about. It's about managing the risk and understanding the risk and making sure that any time that anything goes wrong, that we know that my job as credit manager is always to work out what's the worst thing that can happen. What is the worst thing that can happen in any given circumstances? And then I have to make sure that it doesn't. Yeah? I have to be awake, though, to know. Okay? So what we have to understand from a risk perspective is the whole exposure to an account. And one other, I'll just give you this bit of advice as well to take home with you, because I've seen people get caught out with this. We're looking, and then I'll get back to this now in a minute. But I need you to know this. You print your aged balance on the last day of every month, or maybe the first of the following month. Yeah? So you're looking at your account balances month after month after month after month after month. So let's pick a company here called ABC Limited, and ABC Limited owes 100 grand. And last month it was 97, and the year month before was 93, and you know, so it's sort of there, thereabouts. Yeah? So we have in our expectations ABC owes 100 grand. And this is now the 31st of the 8th and 17th. What I want you to bear in mind from a risk perspective, that when you print your debtor's ledger, you are printing, I did ask for the heat to be turned up, and he said he'd organise it, but it'll take a few minutes before we can feel the benefit. So it is there. So we're looking at 100 grand for ABC, and it's always been 100 grand. What I want you to be conscious of is that 100 grand is the best position. When you print your debtor's ledger, you are printing the balances on your customer account at the lowest they will ever be. Because if he is buying 25 grand's worth a week and paying to terms, yeah? Next week, that balance will be 100. So your balance is 100. Your exposure will be 125 next week, because he still owe you the 100, and then you get another 25. After week two, he still owes you 100 and get another delivery, say it's 150. Then you have blah, blah, blah. So even though I'm looking at a balance of 100, the fact of the matter is there could be another 100. So if they paid you the 100 on the last day of the month and ordered another 100 on the 1st of September, we'd give it to them. Yeah? And you know what? If you paid us a cheque for the 100 grand that I lodged on the 31st and that bounces, he could catch me for 300,000. You understand what I'm saying? So even though I'm looking at a balance of 100, I'm looking at an exposure of 300. And I need to be aware of that. And particularly those of you who have insurance or whatever, just make sure that I would, on a 30-day account, treble the highest account balance from an insurance perspective. So I do 50 grand a month business with them. On a 30-day basis, I want 150 cover. That I know no matter what happens, I'm covered. And we look at ways of mitigating risk as well, in terms of how can I cover off that. Obviously the EFT will take the cheque out of the equation. Maybe.
Yeah, how long are cheques going to be around for?
Cheques are going to be around. And when we spoke about the French market, French people that buy a loaf of bread with a cheque. You know, so the French aren't going to get rid of the cheques very easy. The English, construction industry is still very much cheques. There's a lot of cheques still in the business. Yeah?
Yeah, I get paid cheques.
Yeah, so I know the move is to electronic payments. Revenue would love us to be on electronic payments. If they could get rid of cash, they would get rid of the black market. So, of course, they have a vested interest in getting rid of cash. No time soon, in my view. You know, and there's always going to be the old business. You know, because a cheque is my power. You know, if I have to hand you a cheque, you know, and there's a lot of people in business, particularly smaller businesses, who, you know, and look, as far as I'm concerned, it's a payment method of payment. And if you, however you want to pay me, I'm happy with it. I'll take butter vouchers, you know. So I just wanted to understand that exposure and the fact that we're going to be mitigating risk. So, where am I now? I can just lose things. So, on Monday, you get your first set of notes. So that is fine. So you get your first set of notes. And what I've done here, just in the second... I've given some introductory notes as well, so the introduction, I'm not going to read that because you can read faster than I can talk, so you know, you can read that at your leisure, so when you're looking for something to do over the weekend, that gives you the detailed breakdown of the course. Is that okay? That's fine. So what I want to go through today is the syllabus, just to give you a flavour of what you're going to expect. So. So there's four modules and there's four units in each module, as far as I know, or some are shorter. The first two are dealing exclusively with the profit and loss account and the balance sheet and everything that that entails. The second two modules, when we get to those, is interpreting your trading profit and loss and balance sheet. So what we get into, and I know some people, you know, glaze over when I start talking about ratio analysis and all that kind of good stuff. But that's what we get into. So if you don't like the word ratio, that's fine. It's just about understanding the numbers. So unless we get the first part, though, we don't get the second part. And people who have studied finance before would probably be bored. What the hell? So let me see. So we get entity account equation, double entry bookkeeping. Now, all this double entry bookkeeping and the debit side nearest the window and all that stuff. Look, it's very, very simple. In a business, the money has to come from somewhere and it has to go somewhere. Is that okay? So I set up a business. I decide, yeah, I've had enough, I'm going to set up a business. So on that basis, what I do is, very simply, is I take 10 grand out of my own pocket and put it into the business. Yeah? So on that basis, if we look at our balance sheet, right, we have bank 10,000, because that's in our balance sheet, it's money that we own, yeah? And we have capital, which is the money I put into the business, 10,000. Do you see that? The money came from my bank account for capital for the business, and it went into the bank. So all your double-sided entries is recording where the money came from and where it went to. Yeah? And I bought a car, not a great car, three grand's worth of a car, for the business. Yeah? So now what I do is I create another asset called car for 3,000, and then my bank goes down to 7,000 because the money came from the bank. Do you see? And now my business is still worth 10,000. So people say, well, how does a balance sheet always balance? Because the money comes from somewhere and it goes somewhere. And in this simple example, you can see how your balance sheet can build up over time. If I bought a printer for 1,000 on credit, yeah? So now I have my printer for 1,000, for 1,000, yeah? I would also have creditors of 1,000. You understand? So it goes from there to there. So every transaction in the business, everything that we do from a financial perspective, the money comes from somewhere and goes somewhere. And that's the basics. You can get as complicated as you like in terms of double-sided entry. That's what it's doing. It's very, very simple. Comes from here, goes to there. We record it. Comes from here, goes to there. And obviously in a business, there's millions of transactions going on at any given time. That's effectively what's happening here. Yeah? And in all the transactions and all the purchases and all that, we don't change this balance here, what the company is worth, until we start selling and making money. Yeah? So the balance sheet, I told you, records everything you own and everything you owe. And the trading profit and loss account records everything to do with buying and selling. Is that all right? So that's fair enough. So in a typical trading account, So now let's just take this example here and I'll just build it up so the notes won't be that. So now what I do is I go and I buy 5 grand's worth of stock. Yeah? So now again, if I do it on credit, I have 6,000 of creditors and stock 5,000, which doesn't affect over here. And now the magic happens. I sell some of the stock and I sell my 5 grand's worth of stock for 10 grand. Yeah? So now what we have over here is we have sales of 10 grand, we have purchases of 5 grand, yeah? Which is 5 grand gross profit. So gross profit is the profit between the purchase and the selling. Then we take off all our expenses. So we have expenses to run the business. And then we end up with what's called our net profit. Yeah, so the net profit is what we have left over after we've paid all our expenses. And in this case, we have 5. So happy days, now we've made 5 grand profit. Yeah, and what that will do is capital plus profit will bring this up to 5,000. Are you with me? Because of this 10 grand sales, it'll either go into the bank or it'll go into debtors, whether we got paid for it or not. Do you understand? So everything is recorded, everything then increases or decreases the value. The value of the business sits here in your balance sheet, and how profitable they are sits over here. And to be honest with you, while there might be more numbers, that's it in a nutshell. And what I want to do is demystify it for you today. Does that all make sense? Okay. The one place where it can get complicated, and I want you to understand the concept of this. Do you remember I said to you that the profit and loss account is looking at a period from the 1st of January to the 31st, or whatever the financial year is. So from the first day of the financial year to the last day of the financial year. So I'm seeing, did I make a profit or loss within that defined period? Yeah? So that's okay. So what would happen if on the on the 1st of December I pay my insurance of 12,000. So I have a 12,000 insurance bill and I pay it on the 1st of December, which is for the 1st of the 12th 16 to the 1st of the 12th 17. So now the 12 grand has gone out of my bank. Gone. Yeah? And I paid for my insurance for the next year. So what happens is, and this is where some people get confused, sometimes we have to adjust our accounts, because I only want to know, did I make a profit or loss within that period? The fact that this 12 grand has come out on the 1st of December, it's not right that that all comes out of my 2016 accounts, because only 1,000 of that relates to 2016, and the other 11,000 relates to 2017. Do you understand? So even though 12 grand is gone, it doesn't all relate to this period. And because we have to account for this, we have a thing, this is known as prepayments. So prepayments is where I've made a payment in this period, but it relates to the next period. Okay? Similarly, I might get to the end of the year and go, you know, those geniuses in the council have never sent me my rates bill for the last 6 months. Yeah? Now, I know my rates is 10 grand, because it's been 10 grand for the last whatever. I don't have a bill for it. So it's not in my creditors, it's not in my accounts, it's not anywhere. So in order to accurately calculate whether we made a profit or loss in the period, I have to put into my expenses my rates for the year, yeah? And that is known as an accrual. So an accrual is where there is future expenses. I don't know, I don't have a bill yet. I know there's a bill coming. And one of the things about accounting is, and if you know any accountants, this is true, they have to be conservative. Right, so that's the rule of accounting, that you have to record things. So if you know there's a bill coming down the tracks, you have to account for it. And if it relates to that period, then it has to appear in that period. But it only relates to what's in that period. Do you understand? So as you go through the notes, there will be, so part of your exercise, and maybe I'll give away your first assignment. Your first assignment will be, we will extract what's called a trial balance, which is all the figures out of the nominal ledger in a business. Yeah, we're going to give you all those numbers, and then we're going to ask you to create a set of accounts out of them. Yeah, and by creating a set of accounts, everything, it's a formula, they go in right order. If you have to learn the formula, learn the formula. Is that okay? And you just slot them in. And part of what you will have to do as well is, there will be adjustments, because we can't make it easy for you. So, and again, you have to understand what you're adjusting and why. So the three things in the assignment will be to prepare, first of all, a schedule of adjustments, then your profit and loss account, and then your balance sheet. Is that okay? So That's that. So once we get in, so the first two units in module one is just a bit of background, just to give you a flavour. Then we get into the preparation of the trial balance, adjustments to trial balance, and looking at the key things in it, and then final accounts. The module two, then we get into the balance sheet, and just if you just think very simply, that in the balance sheet there's two types of things. Now in business, anybody who knows me will know that anything that the business owns is called an asset. Anything the business owns is called a liability. Yeah? So, in terms of the accounting speak for what's in a balance sheet, it's assets and liabilities. What you own, what you owe. Is that okay? And again, I say that from a business perspective. People make the mistake on a personal perspective of thinking that assets are something they own and liabilities are something they owe. Will I digress for 2 minutes? The rule from a personal perspective of assets and liabilities is this. Are you ready? An asset is something that makes you money, and a liability is something that costs you money. So when you're dealing with your own personal finances, apply that rule. So is your house an asset or a liability? It's a liability because you have to pay for it every month. Your car is a liability because it costs you every month. People who think their house and their cars are assets are fooling themselves and think they're rich when they're not. Is that okay? And I don't want you to fall into that trap. From a business perspective, there's assets and liabilities. There are two types of assets. There are what's called fixed assets and there are current assets. Fixed assets are, by their nature, fixed. So they're tables, chairs, vans, premises, the stuff you need to do business. They're not productive assets. They tend to be big and they tend to last for a few years. Yeah? So that's your fixed assets. So all your big things go into your fixed assets. Your current assets, and even the word current tells you, these are the stuff that's flowing through the business. So your current assets will be things like your bank, your debtors, your cash, your stock. Do you understand? They're changing, they're moving, they're all the time. And the definition of current within finance is that it will be turned into cash within 1 year. And the same with your liabilities. So 1 year is current. Yeah? So that's your current. Now, this is all in the notes. What I'm doing today is just giving you an overview that you can say, that all makes sense. And does it so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty English. So that's your current assets. And again, you have two types of liability as well. You have current liabilities that have to be paid within the year, and then long-term liabilities. So your long-term liabilities are loans and mortgages and all that kind of good stuff. Is that okay? So, and that's how the balance sheet will frame up. You have your fixed assets, current liabilities, long-term liabilities, and then at the bottom one is financed by. Okay, now I will give you one little trick here. Accountants will look at the profit in the profit and loss account, and they will look at the net worth of the business in the balance sheet. From now on, as a credit controller, even tomorrow, Monday, if on Monday you have to look at a set of accounts, the one number that I will always look at, always, is, see your current assets over here. Your current assets, so say they are 700, they all come to 700. So this is your bank, your debtors, your cash, your stock. This is money that will turn over in a month or two. Yeah, is 700. The next figure is the current liabilities. Now, if the current liabilities are 800, what we're saying is, if these guys come knocking on the door looking for 800 grand, it's not there. And they're not going to sell a truck or a premises to pay the running expenses of the business. So in all the figures, in all the balance sheet, and we get into this in part two, I just want to point this one out to you now, that to me, this, your what's called your working capital, the difference between your current assets and your current liabilities, that's the key figure for me in assessing the creditworthiness of any business. Because I want to know, can they pay their bills? Yeah? And if my current liabilities are 500, yeah, it's all right. So they have 700. Now, presuming their debtors are not going back 8 months and their stock isn't rusting and falling apart, all of the things being equal, that business there is all right. The other one is terrible. Do you understand? So when we get into part two, which is module 3 and 4, what we want to get into here, module 3 starts with the cash operating cycle. So this is working capital, cash flow, and all that good stuff as well. So just looking at the working capital of a business as well. And then we get into the whole classification of risks and analysis. So what we'll do is we'll look at numbers with other numbers. Are you with me? So let's take this one as an example, just in terms of to dismiss the fear about ratios. All I have to do is divide my current assets by my current liabilities. Yeah? That's all. And when I divide any number by any number, there's only three possible answers. I would either get an answer that's greater than 1, that's 1, or that's less than 1. Isn't that right? Because when you divide two numbers, you can't get anything else. Yeah? So, in that current asset thing, if it's greater than 1, that means they have more assets than liabilities. That's good. If it's 1, yeah, they can just about cover it. If it's 0.7, they've only 70% cover for their assets. So when I'm talking about, I don't want to get hung up on ratios and all that kind of stuff. I want you to understand the sense behind it. You know what I mean? Yes, they can pay their bills. No, they can't. And you say, well, maybe 0.9 is bad. But you know what? It was 0.7 2 years ago and 0.8 last year and 0.9 this year. That's all right. You know, they're getting stronger. And they paid their bills last year. Yeah? And the other thing that I think is very important to note as well for you from a credit management perspective, even in the first example where the current liabilities were higher than the current assets, as a credit manager, this might come as a shock, I know from looking at the accounts you don't have money to pay everybody. I don't care. As long as you pay me. Yeah? You heard the story about the lion, didn't you? The two lads running through they were walking through the jungle first, and this lion came out behind them and started coming for them, so the lads legged it. And the lion was catching them with every step, but one of the guys was looking, and he turns, because he was more negative, and he said, yeah, I don't know why we're running. He said, we never outrun the lion. And your man looks at him and said, I don't have to outrun the lion, I only have to outrun you. So on that basis, I don't care if you want to pay everybody. Yeah, as long as you pay me. So, but by having this sort of knowledge that, look, these guys could be cash-strapped or whatever, now I keep them on a very tight leash. I know these guys could be heading into trouble in the future. You know, and there does come a point where we just have to say, it's far too risky. It's far too, you know, the reward that we get isn't worth the risk that we're taking. And it's about making that sum as well. So even though I've given you one ratio here, which is your current ratio, I'll be sharing sort of, now I'm not going to share, there's a million ratios. You can buy books with 1,000 ratios in them. That's not the point. I'll probably be sharing at maximum 12 or 15 key credit management ratios. Okay? If you say, well what about return on working capital? I don't care about return on working capital. Now, the business owner does and the accountants do. I'm the credit guy. I don't care about his return. Like, how much money he makes is his business. I don't care. all I'm focusing on is the business going up or down? Are they profitable? Are they growing in work? Are they solvent to be able to pay their bills? How reliant on the stock are they? You know, so on that basis. And again, and you would know this as well. If I look to my profit and loss account and I have creditors, sorry, no, I don't. I have purchases. So in my P&L account, I have purchases for the year, yeah? So if my purchases are 700, yeah? So, I keep it simple. My purchases are 1,200, yeah? So I have 1,200 purchases in the year, that's fine. And then I look over here into my balance sheet and I see that my creditors, so 1,200, my creditors are 600. Yeah? I could say, well, hold on a second. At the end of the year, he owed his creditors 600 grand, say. Yeah? He only bought 1.2 million in the whole year. It's taken him 6 months to pay his creditors. So the creditors figure in the balance sheet represents 6 months' purchases. Can you see where that's coming from? So what we'll be looking at is, yes, we've looked in depth in the first two modules. In the second and third and fourth module, we'll be looking at this number and that number. What does that tell me? What does my sales and my debtors, that tells me how quickly he's collecting his money. What does my purchases and my creditors, how quickly he's paying his suppliers. So I can pick up a picture of the business. And then what was it this year? What was it last year? What was it the year before? Is he going up? Is he going down? Is he in trouble? Is he heading to on a road up to oblivion? So that's really what I'm looking at. So, and the other good news for you as well is you do not have to remember the ratios. Okay, so this is not a memory test. So when we give you the full exam at the end, the last page of the exam paper is going to be the ratios. So we will give you the sheet of ratios and then you can go and calculate them and whatever. Yeah? So that's that. So I hope you find that interesting. If you're going to say, oh, we're doing ratios and we're doing this, you know, yeah, that's boring. But if your inquisitive mind is tweaked by, you know, how can I find out here? How profitable are they? What are their, how many employees? So what's their sales by employee? What's their profit by employee? And I can tell, God, that business is much better than that business. You know, they're making 100 grand per employee. These are only making 52. Do you understand? So I can get a picture, and that's what I want you to get, of the businesses. It's a picture of the business. How good are they? Am I happy with them? Because anybody who's ever heard me talk, you know, the one thing that you have to keep at the back of your mind at all times, just remember, the word credit comes from a Latin verb, which is credere, which means to believe or to trust. The creed, you've heard that word creed, I believe. So, how does that link into credit? Well, how it links into credit, very simply, is that if I give you credit, I am giving you goods or providing services today, and I am trusting that you will pay me in the future. So credit is all about trust. And wasn't it J.P. Morgan said, I do business with anyone as long as I can trust them. So the financial thing is one thing, trust is another. So, and part of what I'm doing this exercise here for is where I don't know somebody, and I say, well, look, give me a clue here. Can I give them credit? And this is one piece in the jigsaw. And when we're building up a risk profile on customers in terms of making decisions, that's exactly what I want you to do. So the question you're asking yourself is, can I trust them? I find credit controllers get very upset when the boss's brother-in-law comes in looking for stuff. And the boss's brother-in-law is a basket case. Yeah, have we all had examples or similar examples to that? Can I give you a clue here? It's the boss's brother-in-law. You know, he's getting the stuff, you know. And if, to cover your own posterior, you have to get the boss to sign off the order so you can go back and say, I told you so, when it all goes pear-shaped, because you know it'll go pear-shaped, then nobody will die, and if they do, it won't be you. Yeah, so like, never get upset about those kinds of things. We all have to make decisions in business that this is stupid. Yeah, and I think the higher up they go, the more stupid they get. But anyway, that's, yeah, then you become the president of America. So that works, yeah, that's on record now, so I'd probably have to see how you do that. So did you get where I'm talking here? So in terms of analysis, So that's fair enough. So then we bring you through the whole process of, and there will be sums in this and there will be maths. Now, you're also allowed to bring calculators, obviously, to the exam, and you're encouraged and advised to bring calculators to the exam as well. So that's that. Then once we get the ratios right, then it gets really exciting, because now we start putting them together. And so now I can take 8 ratios and rank them, which is the best, which is the worst, which is the middlest, and I can create scoring models out of them once I get to that stage. So that's all going to be explained throughout the numbers. So I can take 5 companies in a universe and rank them from 1 to 5 in terms of their risk profile based on, you know, their net worth, their growth, their profitability, all this sort of stuff, and then I can put it into a line and come up with a single number at the end of the day and think, yeah, I can do business with them. No, I can't do business with them. Yeah? Again, even if the numbers, but just remember this as well. So number one, the question is, can I trust them? The other thing is, the credit risk assessment to me is a jigsaw. So yes, the financial bit is one big piece of the jigsaw. You might decide to get a credit, say, for a VisionNet or whatever report that'll give you. Now, I wonder sometimes about the credit limits and credit scores that they give. Have you ever seen that? Yes. Because I don't know how they calculate them. And the good news is, guys, at the end of this course, you'll be able to calculate your own scores. So you'll be able to take, so rather than paying Experian or DNB a small fortune for reports, you can either A, go onto the CRO, the company's office, for $350, or better still, have you come across Search for Less, £195 a year for all you can eat, everything. So all you get is the raw data, but once you have the raw data and a spreadsheet, yeah, see, back to spreadsheets again, solve the problems of the world with a spreadsheet. You can just pop the numbers in, bump, there it is, you can decide whether to do it. So that's your sort of risk model. So I have my financial analysis, I have my scoring, I have my reports. I'd also, and we covered this in the credit management topic rather than this, trade references, I love them. You know, I love them. And I know you say, Dec, we're getting into the electronic world. Look, the world is always going to be about people. And to me, in this game, and what kept me sane and alive was the contacts and the people I knew and the people I met along the way. And it's essential that you, and by taking trade references, you're effectively talking to other credit controllers and other credit people in other businesses. And the more you increase your network and your contacts, the better it's going to be. So, you know, I would be a huge, huge fan of that. That's, and then I do all the other stuff. And then as we go through, like, it depends on the value of the decision I'm making. You know, like, if they want £800 and I'm in a big business, they could probably have it. I might just do a quick search, was there any judgments registered against them, and if not, sure, it's grand. I haven't time to, I could tell you to spend 15 minutes analysing every account, but you're busy, and opening new accounts is only one part. You have calls to make, you have queries to sort, you have boss screaming at you, and 100 other things going on in your head at the same time. So, you know, we have to apply this intelligently. So, yeah, okay, we know what to do, but look, if it's a grand, you know, all right, unless. And the one question that I encourage all credit people to ask in the application, the credit application process. Here's my favourite question for deciding on credit. Are you ready for this? Here it is. Why not? So they want to do business with us, we want to do business with them. Why not? Yeah? Business lost 100 grand and it's 50 grand in the hole. That's a why not. If 15 judgments raised against them, the squires all around town. That's a why not. Your man is an absolute cowboy who couldn't lie straight in bed. That's a why. You know, so I'm not saying we look at the world in rose-coloured glasses. I'm saying why not. And if there's nothing derogatory for that amount of money, then whatever. The one thing that I would do, and we cover it in the credit management module rather than this, is that look, if they're looking for $500,000, and in my world $500,000 is a lot of money, I want to see the whites of their eyes. I want to turn up and have a look around. And it's something that I would encourage you to do if you're asked to go into an exposure that's beyond. Just go and have a look. And that's part of the overall jigsaw that gives me the better picture to make a better decision. Is that okay? So that's that. Then, as I say, module four then sort of is a kind of wrap up then as well. So we get into risk management in terms of classifying the different types of risk, establishing industry norms and best practices. This is my little scoring model. Now, good news and bad news. The bad news is that as you're working through the course and when you're turning up to exams and all that good stuff, you have to do the calculations and work it out. Okay? When you're finished the exams or when you want to, if you want to do it on a day-to-day basis, you think, yeah, I like that scoring model. When you get to it, I think I could apply that in work. I have, obviously, a spreadsheet that I do it for. So I know you have to do the sums. I have a spreadsheet that I've worked out that you just key the numbers in and it will do the calculations and the comparisons, and it's called comparative credit analysis, that you slot in the numbers, it does the scores, it will give you an indication. Now, it's only an indication. Don't you cry out to me that, oh, they gave me an indication, they went bang last week. Because it's only one part of the jigsaw. Is that okay? And then we look at the area of bad debts and business failure, just understanding why businesses fail. And part of it is that you can see the writing on the wall. Okay? In terms of the exam itself, because that's part of why we're here, you will be getting a detailed mock paper. But it's divided in two parts. There is the first part, which is the trading profit and loss and balance sheet. There'll be questions on that. And there'll be no surprises, really. I'll be able to tell you, look, there's going to be a question on the trading profit and loss and balance sheet. There's going to be a question on ratio analysis and all that kind of stuff. There's going to be a question on cash flow projections. And cash flow projections is, we go through the process with you in terms of how you assess the information, get it together, and then decide what money is coming in and all that kind of good stuff. So, and to be honest with you, even in the real world, when I had some, and I had some amazingly high-risk customers that would cause you sleepless nights as you went through it, how I used to manage them when I got to a certain point was, on cash flow. And I'd go down and say, right, so you want, like, it could be $500,000 quid of credit. You're 3 years in business, you have a rented cold store, and you have 6 leased vans, and you want me to give you $500,000. Your capital, you put 10 grand into the business, and you want me to put $500,000 into it. Yeah, that sounds fair. And you get the profit, and I get the risk. So on that basis, you know, we had to do other deals. The one thing I'd ask them to do is, look, can you just give me a cash flow forecast for the next 3 months, 6 months? Yeah, you might sit there, as a lot of accountants would, and say, paper never refuses ink, sure they can write anything on the page. And they can, and that's fine. The problem is, I would say, okay, well, just, so I've gone down, I used to visit them, get a financial review, and part of what I wanted was a cash flow forecast for the next 3 months. So they give me the page with all the numbers in it, and I would say thank you very much. Have a quick look and think, yeah, that looks, if they do that, they'll be able to pay me for the next 3 months. I can go home happy. In 3 months' time, I'd come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And now I would have the cash flow forecast on this side and the bank statements on this side. Spot the difference. Yeah, now, of course, they're never going to be the same because life isn't like that. If they were close, I think, yeah, okay, this guy has a handle on the business. He's building trust. If they were a mile off, then what's going on? Hold on, you said you'd have 20 grand in the bank at the end of October, and you're 15 grand overdrawn. Like, come on. Do you see where I'm heading off? I'm not waiting for a problem to happen. I'm heading it off of the path, so I know 3 months before any of their other suppliers, this guy could be having a problem. And when I'm finished with him now and I pull out, it's a big problem. But again, we'll pick our moments there. Do you see where we're coming from with risk? So yes, there is a lot of numbers in it. Yes, there is. And particularly the first module or two, you'll be going, what the hell is all this? But that's that. Just before we wrap it up, I want to draw your attention to the last two pages. The last two pages. So what I've done is this one here, this page here with the red line across the middle. That is, and you're looking at that now going, oh my God, that is a sample of your first short test. Right? And even if you might as well be looking into a field right now, I guarantee you that by Monday week, you will know how to do that. I say, the missing figure, well, thank you. Yeah, this is like the Irish Times cryptic crossword. So yes, you will be able to do that. That will come to you in an Excel spreadsheet, because how else I love spreadsheets. So it'll come to you in an Excel spreadsheet, and you just fill in the answers. Is that okay? The notes will come to you in a PDF. The workbooks will be an Excel spreadsheet as well, and the short tests are an Excel spreadsheet. What I would advise you to do is, rather than put, if you put in number 42 is either right or it's wrong. And if it's right, you get a mark. If it's wrong, you get no marks. Yeah? What I would do is, and particularly in this one here, say the first question. So the first question is about the accounting equation, which you know about that. So anyway, I'm not going into it. But look, the answer is a combination of the four numbers above it. Is that okay? So rather than put in the number, why not, seeing you have an Excel spreadsheet, put in the formula? It's that plus that minus that is the answer. Do you understand? And then that gives me a clue, because if you get 10 wrong, you know, this person is either stupid or they're doing something wrong, or they don't understand it. And you might say, ah, look, but your income is, you go, ah, yes, I should have added that instead of subtracting it. So once I can see what you're doing, and maybe if you just, you know, forgot to carry the one or something, I can give you half a mark for getting most of the concept right, even though you don't get the actual number of the answer right. Is that okay? And the same way in the exam, when you come to it, you get marks for everything you do right. There's no deducting marks for things you do wrong. Is that okay? So that's that. So if you do that. So I will be sending you that on Monday, and then you send back with your answers the following Monday. Then I will give you your marks. And what I will do is, based on the answers I get from everybody, I will then, not only will I send you back, but get it absolutely right. What I will do is, so on Monday I'm sending out a short test, bang, you work on it for the week. And if you have it finished on Thursday, send it back on Thursday, that's fine. You don't have to hang on to it till Monday. I'll leave it there till Monday. Then I'll go through them all. I will send you an email just with your marks. I would say, look, you got 6 out of 10, 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10, whatever. And I will tell you the ones either you got wrong or right, depending on which is the most. So if you got 9 wrong, I'd say you got number 6 right. If you got 1 right, I'd tell you which ones you got. You get that? That's all I'm going to give you. But then the following week, I will send you out the solutions. And I will put additional notes in it as well to explain. So if I find 5 people got that one wrong, no, they don't understand this bit, I would put explanatory notes in the solutions for you. Is that okay? And again, if you still don't understand it, please pick up the phone, drop me an email, Dec, I don't understand this. Can you just run that by me again? And sometimes just a different slant. The worst thing you can do, and credit controllers are the world's worst at doing this, you overthink everything. You know? So just take it one step. Accounting is simple. The fact that accountants can do it, it has to be simple. And they do it one step at a time. Are you with me? So everything is one step at a time. Whereas we do 1, 2, 500. You know, we're used to, just show me the bottom line. Just get me there. You know? And you're thinking, yeah, but isn't that... You know, I remember somebody, I was saying, you know, like... What was it? I can't remember now. But they were saying, oh yeah, but couldn't, you know, wages, or couldn't stationery, you know, stationery, I said, is an expense, because it's an expense. Yeah, but it could be a creditor as well, because you mightn't have paid them for the stuff. No, you're going to then, just take it on face value. If it's an expense, it's an expense. Whether they pay for it or not, we'll deal with that down the line. But credit controllers tend to jump to the next area. So accounting is simple, that's what I want you to know today, as long as you take it one step at a time. But if you do 1, 2, 20, you're going to miss out. Are you with me? So maybe just slow down a bit going through it. It's simpler than you think. Is that okay? Are you ready for it?
Yes.
It's going to be great. I'll turn this off now. If